So your brand voice and your purpose. Now, I know some of us that are participating in the Blitz on week one heard me talk about what are some, you know, attributes and things that you are into at a personal level outside of Gemini. So, for example, you know, are you into knitting? Are you into parenting? Are you into DIY tips? All stuff like that. That's what you want to have as your personal brand, because you don't want to just make it all Gemini all the time, because you're just going to be bombarding people with, you know, an overload of say, they're going to feel like you're trying to sell them something all the time. And that's really the opposite of what you want to try to do. So think about what is your who, what, when, where, why, and how, and what do you want to happen? You know, you want to always be authentic, because it's just going to be that much easier to come up with content. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to make my brand about, I don't know, other, like I only speak, I speak English and Spanish, but I wouldn't make a, have my brand be all about, let's say, Russian or something. Cause I don't really know that, unless I was, of course, learning how to speak this new language. But just do something that's natural for you and try to get really specific. And then also think about, you know, what is it that we have as our opportunity, which is the hemp oil. So, you know, what else already exists in the market? So for example, another great place to start would be on competitor pages, for example. And I know Alexandra's going to get into a story about competitor pages later on in the presentation, but they're just, you just really want to think about what it is that you are into. Cause like I said, it's just going to make it that much more natural for you to succeed. All right. And then this is a great account. It's called the Dallas Sites 101. And the backstory with this, these two girls here, they moved from somewhere in the East Coast to Dallas, and they decided that they were going to become, they're going to create an Instagram page basically for people that were transplants to Dallas, and they were going to show people where the nightlife is, where all the great spots to go are. And in turn, pretty much overnight, they went from like one follower to 200,000 followers by just following the basics of what we're going to go through tonight. And I actually took their training myself 2 years ago. So we got some of the content from there as well. So these are two girls that definitely know what they're doing. So next I'm going to hand the mic back over to Alexandra, and she's going to go into some more information about your brand on social media. And whoever's phone that is.
I had somebody said that they couldn't hear me very well. Is it better now? I don't know. I took my earbuds out now. So maybe it's,
yeah, it's better.
I don't know. What's that?
Your voice is still very soft.
I don't know how to change this here. Samantha, do you know how I can make it louder? I have the volume all the way up.
Are you on your phone? You are, right?
Yeah.
There should be a little like carrot icon on the bottom. I think you can put your volume a little higher. It does sound better though. Can you guys type in the chat if you're not able to hear Alexandra well? Yeah, she sounds okay to... She said, you sound good to me, Melissa. Maybe try,
I'll try to talk really or get really close.
And you guys can also turn the volume up on your own phones too, if that's helpful.
Yeah, you'll just have to look at my face really close, I guess. yeah, so basically, so everyone pretty much, a lot of us have Instagram accounts. So if you just go on your Instagram and look and like just check out what it looks like and see if you would want to follow. Instagram is all about visual, so you want to look at your page and see if it looks good. Like, just see how your captions are. Basically, what's your angle? Like, are you a photographer? Are you a means to share information? Are you a vlogger? For us, it's more we're sharing the product. And so we want to kind of add that in and make it look good from the product standpoint. We probably don't do a lot of videos. Probably more just pictures sharing. We got to make those pictures look really good. And then the other thing, so what kind of platform is Instagram? Again, it's all about the pictures. YouTube is obviously about videos. Facebook is kind of more geared toward the posting. So like I said, the pictures are very important to make them look really good. When you look on your profile, so look at your, like that's the first introduction people are, when they see your page, if they're interested, they're going to look on your profile. So check your introduction. I've heard some tips about it being short and to the point. You don't want a very long description. People kind of just tend to look over those. The other thing, I don't remember if we're going to talk about this later, but there is A lot of people put their website on right on their introduction of their on their Instagram feed. The one thing, they can get kind of long and it kind of clutters it up. So what, there is actually an app called Bitly, like bit.ly, and it basically shortens your website to make it so it takes up less space on your Instagram profile. Another thing I think I'm going to talk about location later. Samantha, did you want to chime in about that timing? I can't remember exactly.
Sure. So pretty much Instagram, and this is something that I actually learned from the two Dallas girls I showed earlier. So Facebook will actually time how long it takes, or I'm sorry, Instagram will time how long it takes to compose the caption in your post. So for example, you know, if you're like me, I sit there for probably 20 minutes, like, you know, deleting a word, adding a word, you know, rearranging spacing. So I didn't realize that actually when you finally do post it on Instagram, it pushes it down farther on the algorithm. So it wouldn't be shown to as many people. So a way to kind of hack that, I guess, or mitigate it is basically if you have like an iPhone, it has the notes section. So on my notes, I already have my description that I'm going to put as my caption written up. So all I have to do is copy and paste it into Instagram when I'm ready to post it. And I know Alexandra's going to get into this a little bit later with hashtags, but you can have a maximum of 30 hashtags on any post. And as a best practice, it's best to have a couple of different variations, you could say, of hashtags. So like I said, you can only have 30 at a time, and then have those already pasted into your notes section as well. So you could quickly just go in, copy it, and then paste it. It's actually better to paste the hashtags in the comments of your post. And the reason for that is hashtags are all about following trends. So maybe what's trending this week might not necessarily be trending, you know, a month from now. So in a month from now, I could just delete the hashtags that I put in my comment and then repost new hashtags that are trending. And that's just different ways to kind of reach out and get different followers as well. So I know that's a little bit more advanced, but that's kind of some of the science behind the hashtags there.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I do is I have a whole note specific to all my hashtags. And then I have a whole bunch of other notes with like partially made posts. Cause I think of something and I'm not going to post it right away because I want my page to look good aesthetically, as we're going to talk about here soon. But so I wait to post that picture with that post, and I keep I have probably 20 or 30 posts just partially written, and I'll eventually get to them, but I want to make my page look good. So, yeah, that's a good idea to do that. So now about the pictures, since that's a huge thing, we want them to look good. There's different color palettes you can use. The white theme, I've actually followed a girl that has all white, and she is very successful. People just are drawn to her page just by her color. So basically this means, you know, when you're taking a picture, you want a lot of white space around it. There's a lot of natural light being used. And there's also the, the background color theme. It's basically you want everything to be a theme. You want it to all be, you know, black and white, or maybe all more blue hues. Everything kind of make it all look the same. That is a more, people want to go to that page a lot more, it seems. So then there's specific filters you can use. You can use the same filter, and that will actually make your page look all the same if you keep doing that. There's one in VSCO that's good, or Afterlight. I think those are on on a computer, maybe Afterlight. And you can do mono theme, so like every post contains the same subject. I try to mix it up a bit. I don't know, Samantha, you have maybe some pointers here about this.
Yeah, and you'll kind of see, we have a couple of examples of all of these different categorizations that you could do for branding. But so for example, if you, let's say you are always consistent with borders, right? You could still have, you know, a picture of your kids, let's say, with, as long as it kept that border. Even if the message that you're delivering, like the image in the picture is different, you could still find one thing to keep consistent. I personally like to kind of tailor my color schemes with whatever season we're in. So, you know, around February with Valentine's Day, I'll get a little bit more reds. And then as the summertime hits, I'll get a little bit brighter. So it doesn't have to always be stagnant, but you definitely want to have a balance of You know, they say 70-30, but you know, you don't want to just always be like Gemini, Gemini, Gemini. It's better to do, let's say, for every 10 posts, maybe one is like a straight up sales pitch. Two are like a little bit hinting at the opportunity, and the rest are maybe educating on, you know, the top 10 benefits of being alkaline, or if you're into gardening, maybe the top 10 tips for new gardeners. You want to always try to add value and teach. It's all about educating. So anything that you could do to educate people is perfect.
Yeah, because we're like more of a hemp oil is something that people need to be educated on. And that is a huge thing. If people trust what you're saying, like everyone is good at something, like say you're good at making food. If you talk about how, you know, you make this specific food this way and it really works and everyone loves it. And these people on your post, on your page, they try this and then they're going to say, hey, this person knows what they're talking about. So they're obviously, you know, knowledgeable about a lot of different things. So, you know, maybe they know what they're saying about hemp oil. You know, it's not all, like she said, it's not all just about the oil and about, so, you know, spread that knowledge to other places and take it, you know, give it.
Exactly. And even in this mono themed example, do you see how they post the picture of all the plates? So like, you know, maybe your cooking is infused with remedy. I mean, you could really get creative here. I mean, maybe it's not, you just say it is, because it could be a great thing to add to your food, let's say. But this is just, I wanted to give you guys some tangible examples, so you can kind of put those descriptions into visualization. And then again, playing with the borders, brown palettes, white and muted. And if you're like, where am I going to get all these pictures? Alexandra's going to talk about some apps that you can actually download free stock photography that is out there on the internet. And it's totally, the photographers actually put it out there for people to use to repost. So it's totally fine to use their stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a great app. I've used that for a lot of my stories and stuff as well. So for photo editing, VSCO, Afterlight, Color Story, Snapseed, those are all great ones for, you know, how some pictures have like it crops out, like Instagram will crop out to make it a certain size. So you can go in and, edit. I don't know if that was the one. There's also words that you can add on. Typorama is my favorite. There's all kinds of different styles. And they actually look quite, I actually just did one about the yerba mate. I actually made that picture that I just posted a couple days ago with Typorama. I just found a picture on, I don't know if it was even Pinterest, but that other app, Unsplash, has great pictures, stock photos. And I just added that text. And in my opinion, it looks, you know, like it's kind of professional. So, and there's other, as you can see, there's other apps that you can use for doodles and words. Font, Words, WordPlag, Snap, and Typic Over. Yes, Unsplash, someone just said. So, and then photo manipulating, Facetune, I know, yeah, that one was a great one. I tried it for the trial. Perfect 365, InLight, Adobe Photoshop Express. I don't really deal with these a lot, but they're maybe more for the advanced on the computer.
And you love PixArt, right?
And then also for this? Another thing, go ahead.
PixArt is the one you recommend for this one, right?
Yes, PixArt. It's the one I've been using for years, actually. I go on there and add my little splash marks. So, whoever that is. Oh, yeah. That's yes, PixArt. I go on and I edit. I can crop the photo to make it. You can actually, if a photo's, you know how it's sometimes too small or whatever, you can add it to make it fit to Instagram properly. You can do so much stuff on that app. And then, yeah, so another one is to see your feet, because what you want to do is, again, make it look good. So you want to see what your feet is going to look like before you post. Phonely and Preview are good ones for that. So border, yeah, if you want borders, that also helps. I notice a lot of times when I post, it can kind of look like it's all like just a bunch of stuff happening. But if you add a border, it kind of contains each different post, and it looks really good to add a border. I think there's some people, and the same with actually going back, that reminds me, going back to what we talked about before with all the different color schemes and making, what you want to do is whatever you're talking about in your post, if your picture relates to it, you want to make that the focus. And if you have all kinds of stuff going on in your picture, maybe you won't necessarily focus in on that, but borders can help with that, I know. The video boomerang, I know that one is in the Instagram stories. You can use that. I think it's really great. Like, it's just a new thing that, I don't know, it's so short and everyone seems to love watching something go forward and backwards. I don't know why. Hyperlapse, I haven't actually used that one. And then, yeah, same for Instagram story, Typorama, Adobe Spark, Over. Those are all editing everything. Because again, it's what you see, what you want to make it look good. So here's some examples of how you can make, you know, you see the picture and it's just like, people aren't really going to know what's going on here. But if you kind of describe a bit, you're having an event, right? This is a great way to add text. I think that might be from Typorama, that text on there. And yeah, so our photo tips, basically now people are liking to see blue hues over yellow hues. So this means like when you're doing your editing in like editing photos with different, I can't think of the word right now, with different
filters.
Yes. Sorry. You want to use like more blue versus yellow. I think people are, it's more like, yellow just seems to be kind of blah and blue is more of a thing now. The rule of thirds, just Google that. I had to have Samantha Google that for me, but I've seen it before where I think Colette even has it on her page. I've seen where you post, can you explain it better? Samantha,
sure.
I'm still in a little bit.
And then with the blue and yellow hues, like if you have an iPhone, you could choose like a cool tone. So the cool tones are statistically, aesthetically more pleasing than the warm tones are. And then the rule of thirds basically is if you have like a picture of a scenery, let's say, so the horizon, you know, if there's like an ocean line, right? The horizon between the sky and the ocean line would be like a third. So it's just about like symmetry and you don't want to have it all cockeyed. So let's say the skyline is, you know, taking up 60% of the picture and then the ground would only be 40%. You want to kind of split it up. And if you can actually turn on grid lines, I think it's called, in your photos. And if you have an iPhone, I apologize for those Android users, but basically when you pull out your camera, it'll have those lines, like the grid lines already there. So that helps you put into perspective the rule of thirds.
Yeah. Vertical over horizontal. I know is that like the picture? I think you maybe know a little more about
it. Yeah, like the way you hold your phone versus basically people think that just by turning their phone that way, it's going to, you know, have a better picture. And that's not necessarily the case. I'm actually guilty of overusing my filters. At one point it was perfect. 365 was the app. And I thought I was like, so cool, like whitening my teeth and making my eyes bigger and like adjusting my face. And I actually had some of my old friends from New York call me and they're like, I'm sorry to tell you this, Sam, but I don't know if you've been getting work done lately or like you got too much Botox, but your pictures are looking like a little bit crazy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you guys told me. It's just these filters that I was like overdoing. So don't overuse your filters. You're beautiful the way you are. And sometimes less is more, right? And then obviously low quality photos. You want to try to, I mean, anybody with an up-to-date iPhone or Android device, I mean, you guys should be good with that. But just it's when it's like grainy quality, just try to find a picture in a little bit higher resolution. And obviously natural light is your best friend. I've had to recently purchase some lighting for these videos and even they're really inexpensive on Amazon. Even if you just get like an umbrella light or one of those little selfie lights, it goes a long way for that $15 just so you could look a little bit more professional. All right.
Yeah. Sorry, you're going.
And then there's more. No, I'm just kidding. Here, we kind of covered on the symmetry, using objects to frame your photo. Actually, you're really good about this, Alexandra. You could talk a little bit about that if you like.
Yeah, that's actually what I was touching on before. Perfect. I thought we had already talked about it. Yeah, making what you're talking about the focus of the photo. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Yeah, I know that's a huge, because like I said, it can make it, if you have so much stuff going on, you like people are drawn to what they can first see. So that pops out. I think that's a big thing. And actually, that also reminds me, I just went to the dollar store the other day and bought it's like a little thing to attach your phone to so you can actually, because you know, selfies are great, but they don't look at, like, you can look like you went and got a professional photo shoot done if you set up your phone for the timer, right? And have the one of those little, because you can set up all the, like what I used to do, set up all these books and shoe boxes and try to make it work, and it was so annoying. But they actually was like $3 at the dollar store, and that's in Canada. So yeah, that was a game changer for me. Now, tips for growth. So hashtags. I know Samantha touched on that a little bit before. You can search hashtags. Anyone that has 250 to 750,000 followers, 250,000 to 750,000. Those are going to be the ones you want to use, because those are the ones that show up in so many different people's. There's so many different people following them, obviously. And you want to follow and interact with similar accounts. It's another great way to connect with people, is find someone with your same interests and, you know, comment on, and then they'll look on your story. And if you have a lot in common, that's a great way to make a connection. Again, you don't want to just make a bunch of posts. You want to make those connections. And like is the next one, create relationships. And consistency with your voice, brand, and feed. That's basically keep posting. Make sure that you stand by what you sell. Make sure you are, you know, things aren't changing and you're changing. I think that's kind of what it's saying, Samantha.
Yeah, just, you know, if you're talking about how you're, you know, all this holistic mom doing all organic stuff, and then you're eating a cheeseburger from McDonald's, that's probably not going to be on brand or consistent. And it's okay. Of course, you can have balance in life, because maybe you're talking about real talk. Like, as long as you could tie it in somehow, you know, you just want to make sure you're building credibility.
Yeah.
And not.
Yeah, that's a great way, though, to be real as well. That's a good point, because, you know, showing that, hey, you know, you're trying to be great, but, you know, you ate an ice cream cone or a cheeseburger, right? Like,
right.
That people really like those real posts.
And it kind of goes along with, too, not buying followers. It's the same concept. Like, yeah, I can go spend $20 and buy, you know, 2,000 followers, but is that really showing authenticity, right? Or is it just a facade that I'm just putting forth, you know? So, you know, that could potentially hurt a new brand if somebody comes on and they're like, well, those are weird names. Like, is that a bot? And then you might instantly lose credibility, and then the person would go elsewhere to somebody who's, you know, really posting. Yeah,
the point is to be real.
Exactly.
Another thing you can do is host giveaways. I've done this a few times. So what you could do on Instagram, I've done some on Facebook, but on Instagram, I've seen some where they basically just say, you know, tag three friends and you know, to be entered to this draw. Or you could say, I don't know, some examples. I think they're basically any type of giveaway, you know, that you can do, and that will draw people to your page. People love giveaways, anything free. You could do something, you know, like a box product, or a $25 gift card is a great idea, actually, because then, you know, people have to use it on your site, right? And then also geotags, if you're targeting a certain place, like say I'm targeting Australia, when you make a post, use the location and just put in Australia, and then more people from there will see it. Pre-write repost, we already went over that. Using the free business tools, I don't really, Samantha, do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, and I know we're running out of time, so a lot of these I'm all about, you know, showing you guys, teaching you the science behind it, and then I like to actually dive in and show you a live example. So what we're going to do, this week I'm going to do a meetup training on Wednesday. I'm not sure exactly what time yet, but I will record it myself going through the screens. And then I'm going to, the following week, do a deep dive into Instagram. So this way you guys have the week to think about your branding, think about visually how you want your accounts to look. And then we'll have some really specific, you know, a deep dive Zoom next week, probably next Wednesday, to just look at the business tools. But the business tools here are when you change your account from a personal account to a business account, it gives you all of this free reporting to use to see what pictures are having the most engagement, which ones people are liking the most. So those are really helpful too. Here's just another example from the Dallas Sites 101, how they geotagged. If you see up on the top right there, they tagged Dallas, Texas. I kind of like to play around with my geotags according to whatever specific area I'm looking for. So for example, for Alexandra, she has a team growing in Australia, right? So you could actually change the location to, if you have a specific state that you're prospecting or a specific country, you could just say you're there. And then anyone who also, you know, who searches for that location, your post would pop up in that feed. So it just gives you exposure to new people. We're going to fly through these last couple of ones. To recap, for Instagram stories, continue engaging your followers with quick messages. Alexandra's really great about these. I love stories because they're super fun. If you have 10,000 followers, you actually, I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen where it's like swipe up and it links you to a website. That's what you have to have 10,000 followers to be enable that swipe up feature. But you know, you can easily get there as long as you follow the tips we're giving and stay consistent. And then that gives you an opportunity. So, you know, you don't want to post on Instagram 3 times a day, a new picture, but the stories, you can have new content all the time and be posting a lot more that you wouldn't necessarily want to put on your feed. You guys have the presentation. So this kind of goes over again, stuff we just touched upon, multi Instagram story about the fact that you have to have 10,000 followers. And then this is my favorite. So that's why I wanted to skip ahead, but here's kind of an example of a sequence, what the stories could look like, right? So first you're posting about Halloween, and then the second picture you click through and the new text would come up. So then you actually save these as separate pictures and then upload them in a row, right? And then the last one, it's just a call to action, but it makes it really fun. And you know, you would have to click 3 times to see the full message. So all that is like I said, 3 different pictures saved on top of each other. Again, this is one picture, and then you can have a secondary picture that's actually tagging the person that's in the picture. And then this is kind of a cool feature as well that if you guys want to check out, you could print this guide out, like I said, or watch the replay on Facebook in our Gemini University group. And then sustaining growth. So of course, now that you're going to have all these people reaching out to your new beautiful Instagram, you want to make sure you're keeping up with your messages, right? Because how terrible would that be if you just neglected your Instagram for a couple of days and you had a bunch of messages that you never responded to? So just always make sure your notifications are on so you can get those message notifications, and try to create strategic partnerships. You know, start looking for other accounts. Maybe they review hemp oil. Maybe they're, you know, influencers that are like on a mom blog that, you know, bloggers are huge. They need content and they need content for free. So a lot of times you could work with them and negotiate something. Maybe you can hook them up with a sample and they'll write a little feature about you. But the whole main point is we can't hide behind our screens our whole life. You have to get out. And if they live in your area and you've already realized they're not like creepy or anything, and they're actual, you know, people you would want to work with, you just set up a time to meet them in person or offline on a Zoom training. You know, you always want to take them to that next step, to network and build relationships. And going beyond the gram to create that offline experience, like we said before. So in turn, network and meet everyone you can in person. Make sure you represent your brand aesthetically and you have a consistent voice and purpose, and just be thoughtful. And if you have any questions, of course, Alexandra and I will always love you even before your Instagram was pretty. And here's our Instagram handles as well if you would like to follow us. Which I would recommend, just so you can kind of see, especially Alexandra, I love what she's been doing. And, you know, I don't really post too much of Gemini specific content anymore, but if you want to check out the highlights organization, you can do that. But thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed this training. Thank you so much, Alexandra.
Thank you.
You're awesome. So yeah, contact us if you have questions. Like I said, I'll be letting you guys know when that deep dive Instagram training will be next week. And stay tuned. Oh, and I also will post that PDF of the 69 Instagram tips in Gemini University right after we get off the Zoom. So thank you guys. Thank you. We'll see you next week.